You know, it's so easy when you get a sponsor for the show and you use their services. And I do. It's Karen Locker's Solutions for E-Commerce. Solutionsforecommerce.com/momentum will get you 10% off right now. I've been using her for, I guess it's been a year and change since I first interviewed her. Hired her pretty much right after the show because I'm like, I need everything you're talking about. I've got problems with stranded inventory. And guess what? I had lots of problems with stranded inventory last year as the restrictions were coming through. Boom, she'd fix it. If there's an issue with the photo, fixed. All that kind of stuff. I get refunds now. They just show up. Hey, you know, we're replying to your cases. Here's your refund. My feedback. I don't have to fix my own feedback anymore. It's automatically done. And I see the notes coming through. I still once in a while get an email from Amazon saying, hey, you have some stranded inventory. I send it to her. And most of the time, it's already been dealt with and fixed. But let me tell you, being a single operator, my wife and I, this just takes so much off our plates. I can't say enough about it. It's Solutions for E-Commerce, the number four, solutionsforecommerce.com/momentum to get 10% off her services. Be sure you tell her I sent you. Solutionsforecommerce.com.
Welcome to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast, where we focus on the people, the products, and the process of e-commerce selling today. Here's your host, Stephen Peterson.
Welcome back to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast. This is episode 193, Quincy Lin. Man, I could talk to Quincy forever because, I mean, the dude is smart. I call him a data investigator. I use that term as part of what I'm looking at, skill sets that people have. Quincy's one of those guys. He just has a knack for understanding data. The data makes his decisions. In this first segment, we're going to spend some time talking about two things I didn't expect to talk. One, about injuries from sitting at a desk and repeating certain tasks. And then number two, a co-op workspace and the benefits will blow your mind. My mind was blown. My boundaries were expanded. Never thought that far out. And there's a reason that Quincy's so successful. The dude is smart. Let's get into the podcast. Welcome back to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast. I am so excited to have back a good friend. And episode 65, oh my God, I can't believe it's been that long. More than a year, Quincy Lin. Welcome back, Quincy.
Hi, Steve.
It's been a long time.
It is. I look back February 1st, 2016.
Is that crazy?
Yeah, I think it's quite a bit have changed on my end, and I have seen enough changes with Amazon.
How about your personal life? Has anything changed in your personal life? Your story is back on episode 65, and you have quite the story. Has anything else? Your kids got older, right? Life... you're out in California, correct?
Correct.
Life the same? Anything different there?
Yes, we actually, I personally gone through a couple of the so-called minor injuries, all related to working on the desktop too long.
No kidding.
So I have my couple tunnel on my right wrist. And then my right shoulder. And then the latest one is my left foot angle, because I was sitting in a position, in a posture that actually put a lot of stress on my ankle. And now it become the tendon becomes have a problem. Then I can't really run.
And you were a runner.
No, I was playing badminton sports a lot, and I couldn't do it for the longest time now. So the only way I can for it to be healed is to rest and not do anything. So this is a part of the price I pay to be sitting in front of the computer too long.
It's funny you say that, because Andy Slammons just posted his stand-up desk. I don't know if you saw those pictures. He posted a picture of his stand-up desk, and he's like, you know, I stand up for 8 to 10 hours a day at my computer now. And he got a little thing called a fidget. I think he called it a fidget. And it's this little thing that goes under the desk where he puts his foot up on it and he kind of wiggles back and forth. It gives him something to do, but it takes the pressure off his lower back because he's standing as opposed to sitting. And it really interested me because that's one of the challenges I have when I stand for a long time. So if sitting is easy, but then like you say, you injure yourself. So everybody's going to move into a standing desk, but then you have this lower back issue. And he found another way. And so just so interesting because I think it's a real deal, right? I mean, you're at a computer, especially because you're a computer guy. You used to be even more, right? How many hours a day are you staring at a computer screen?
I would say average at least 6 hours.
Okay, so 6 hours. Not too bad. But back in the day when you were into computers, how long of a day was it?
Back in the days of engineering, actually I was doing quite a bit of a walking. And because I have to go in between buildings, okay, you know, talking to different engineering groups, actually I spend less time in front of the computer.
Interesting. Yeah. So in the 6 hours that you're there, you picked up this injury. That's interesting because I know people who are doing it for 10 to 12 hours a day, and mm-hmm. that really wears on you. But that's really interesting. So you picked it up early.
Yeah, it is. It's also the eyesight. My eyesight, I think it's getting obvious. It tells me I need to more rest on my eyes. Mm. So I have this ache timer on my laptop. Every 25 minutes, it will ask me to get up and exercise and rest my eyes.
And do you listen to it?
No, it just say like a timer.
Yeah, but do you actually follow it? I mean, do you get up and actually do it?
I can say many times I resist. Resisted to do that, but I get to the point that I will just drop everything. Just get up, do stretches, and do some massage on my eyes and talk to people, networking, especially now. I'm in a co-op workspace now. So I love to engage other people, other entrepreneurs in the office building. So that really helped.
That's interesting. So you're in, I've seen a WeWorks is one I've seen described. So a co-op workspace. What made you decide to get up and go there? Because you could work out of your house, right?
It is. The main reason I have an office here, it is because I'm partnering with Monica Busby mm-hmm. to teach the parents and teenager to launch Amazon business through e-commerce kits. Mm-hmm. And I need an office and also a conference room to do the workshop for the e-commerce kids.
Okay, so that you don't want them coming to your house. You don't want all those kids coming to your house. You already got your own kids, right?
In addition, I really love the idea of engaging other entrepreneurs.
Has there been a benefit for you?
Yeah, it's a huge, actually, I have to say, multiple business opportunity. Actually, I already established a partnership with a software developer team here.
No kidding.
We can talk about it because this is one of the biggest changes this year for me.
Oh my goodness, you got me excited. Now you got me excited because that opportunity, you might not have found it had you not stepped out and went to it. Dude, that's awesome.
Exactly. I just found out I love interacting with people like that. I mean, a lot of them right here, I'm in the office, but right outside there are multiple desks, like open desks. They can rent a desk like on monthly basis at a much lower cost. A lot of them, I can see just 10 of them out there doing their own business and things. I just walk up there and then talk to them and would be amazed by what they're doing. And they are amazed by what I'm doing. I have a huge poster right there. Then people just keep coming in to say, hey, what are you doing?
What are you doing? I'm interested. Have you picked up customers from that?
Exactly. I do.
That's awesome.
I launched a photo booth business. And so there's a lady right across from my office. She's working for a startup SaaS company. And she just come in to ask me about the e-commerce kits. And as we were talking, she saw the my photo booth equipment, which is it's my mock-up. I bought the stuff from Amazon, put it together right in the office. So she asked me about that. And then I said, hey, let's take a picture. You know, I printed out like, you know, regular photo booth printing. And then she said, oh, I have, I am a PTA president of a local elementary school. We're going to have a party night on Friday night. Can you come over to do a photo booth for us? So I did. And we went. That was my first gig, even before I have my website up. That was so cool.
That's exciting. I mean, I never thought about that being, well, two different things I'm taking away from that. One, especially in our world where, you know, you're a data investigator. That's what I call Quincy. You know, but it's true. You go through a lot of data and you've got to manipulate it. But to be able to find software engineers or software partners right there is very cool. And they see you working day in and day out, right? And then to actually mine customers there, I never thought about that would be a great opportunity to mine customers. Oh, this is a profit center for you.
It is.
That's awesome. Dude, that's
I actually engage multiple upstairs, downstairs. I mean, there are multiple opportunities right now. Some of them want me to help them to put the product on Amazon.
Oh, wow.
Once they learn what I was doing.
You know, that's so powerful to say that again, because how many people are out there creating products or developing things, and they don't know how to bring it to market, right? We all just assume, because we take it for granted, that we all know how to do this. This is a very specialized skill. Chris Green always said that. You guys have learned a very specialized skill. Make sure you charge for it. So you're in a great position. A, they know you have costs, so you don't mind charging. They're used to paying for services. And if you're right there, there's a trust, a relationship, not just through a website. You actually get to look them in the eyes and have a conversation with them. Quincy, that's huge. Dude.
It is. I'm very excited.
This is big thinking. How many people are in the co-op workspace? How many desks do they have?
We have about 19.
Oh, so it's not that big.
Families, I mean the companies here. And not to mention, there are some people only come in like once a week,
okay.
Some are two or three, they have different plans. So I will see more than probably about 30 different entrepreneurs in and out.
Are you in a big city in California? Is that why it's so?
It is. I am next to the Silicon Valley. I'm in Fremont, which is next to San Jose, Santa Clara, where all the, you know, exciting things happening.
So it's like kind of going to Nashville and all the waitresses can sing. In that environment out where you are, almost everybody has a product, an idea, or a computer background or something, right?
Oh, Fremont is the prime location for all the the young family, young high-pay engineer family to live, because it's next door to the Silicon Valley. And, the price, the housing, it's crazy over here, the price.
Wow, you just blew my mind. All right, let's do this, because you just blew my mind, and I'm going to pull back and think about it for a second. Let's take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about what's been changing, because it seems to me Amazon made a kind of a big change, and you're a shoe guy, right? There was a little bit of a change in the shoe world that might have really messed up our world in a different way. Let's take a break. We'll be right back. You've heard me talk a lot about Private Label, and Andy Slammons is back with a new free course. It's the Smart Private Label course. S stands for selecting a product. M, manufacture with the right supplier. So important. Amazing photos, keyword research, and listing preparation is the A. R stands for ranking your product to the first page of search. We all know how critical that is. And then T is taking your product to the top of Amazon and beyond. This is a free course. It's going to help you get that foundation to do your own private label productness. You want to work smarter. Get it smarter. AmazingFreedom.com/smart. AmazingFreedom.com/smart. Tell Andy I sent you. I do need to warn you, I do a little bit of pitching of Quincy's service, but he's given a deal that blows me away. He's letting people get a month for free, and I think it's worth trying. But it's, again, only for the right person. And at the end, we talk about it. So stick around for the end. What I like about this segment is we talk about adapting, right? Because the shoe business has been blown up and completely changed. But I think Quincy's smarter for it. It kind of forced him and forced others to look at other things and stop being so dependent upon one metric, one set of data. Now he's got multiple data points, and clearly he and now we all benefit by his knowledge and his new found knowledge. Again, stick to the end. I know it's a pitch fest for that, but man, if this is something you've been thinking about, this is a great opportunity because the dude is smart. Let's get back into the podcast. All right, we're back, and I'm blown away talking to Quincy Lynn, who, you know, I think the more I talk with you, the smarter I get, because you just expanded my boundaries. My mind is racing as I never thought about the opportunities until you just said it right there about a WeWork space, that the benefits that you get of meeting others, and that's just incredible to me. Oh my goodness, so good. Okay, so let's talk changes, right? So pre-Amazon change, boom, the ranks made sense. We had it all figured out. Everything was great. You have a shoe sourcing company that you sell lists to people. Everything's going great, rocking and rolling. What happens?
So, yeah, Amazon changed the rank. Actually, the way the changes come is they all of a sudden, overnight, because I look at shoes every day for myself or for our clients. So I noticed all of a sudden the root category sales rank on the main product page for shoes and clothing disappear in a single day.
Whoa.
And
so let's just explain what that means, right? So that means that you no longer understand what is a good selling shoe, right? Correct? If that's gone, the ability to distinguish that ability, just using the rank, is gone immediately.
In the sense of normal visitor, you will not be able to see it. But if you use a, on the product main page, there usually be a couple sales ranks, not just one.
Mm-hmm.
Before the change, you can see there's a root category sales rank, which is say shoes, and then you have the rank 5,000. And underneath, there are a couple of subcategory sales rank as well, right? So after the changes, the root category sales rank disappear. The remainings are the subcategory sales rank, which we usually don't look at.
So that would be like baby shoes, girls.
Right, shoes, kids, boys, and then say boots.
Okay. Yes. So way down deep, all the way down. And it's good to know, but it, you know, it's kind of hard, right? Because then you have to know somebody who's looking specifically for boots, boys, and kid sizes, right? Makes it more challenging.
It is. It is. But we learn to kind of, later on, study the subcategory rank to see if we can make some sense out of it, to see if it, the data actually can be helpful. And we found it actually is quite helpful in the sense as long as we interpret the data, again, if there's a data, we try to go by data, not guessing. At the same time, for even though on the main page, if you're on the desktop, right, normal Amazon.com, the desktop version of the browser will not display the root category rank anymore. But if you go to a Amazon.com/mobile, there's a mobile version of the browser. There, you're able to see, still be able to see the root category rank for shoes and clothing.
But pro
just
tip
more
there.
Difficult for people. And if you're using like any kind of a scouting app, like a Scoutify, a Profit Bandit, Scan Power, when you're out doing RA, you can still see it because third-party tools are able to pull that root category rank through the API call. So if you use the ref seller on your desktop, and then you still be able to see it.
Okay, so that's a pro tip right there. So you're saying that the third-party software still has the ability to show it, right? And normal people just looking at a regular desktop would not see it. However, if you do it the way you just suggested, you could still see it. Okay.
Yeah, that was the change. That was the.
That's a pretty big change, though, because it disappeared. I mean, that's a pretty big change.
But the funny thing is, it just a couple of days ago, I think a week ago, it came back.
Just so when I you figured it out.
Yeah, I was doing my normal thing, checking out the shoes and everything. And all of a sudden, I realized on the normal desktop version of the browser, on the main page for shoes, I can see the root category rank right there. It's like, okay, here's the thing. So it comes back.
So what does that tell you, though? I mean, is it this? I mean, to me, and I made a note, you know, about the talk. I wanted to make sure you have to adapt, don't you? Because it's outside of your control, these things.
Exactly. So we were thinking when the change first happened, the root category rank disappeared. Then we kind of think, okay, what's the new standard now? What's our new comfort level? Oh, the change, there's one more change. Coming along is that the shoe and clothing and jewelry all roll under the bigger category. Usually, what it used to be is shoe and clothing, they have their own category, root category. After the change, shoes and clothing and now roll under shoes, clothing, and jewelry. It's a bigger category, and all the sales rank all got bumped up. Say, for example, originally, before the change, a pair of shoes, a Nike shoes, is ranking at 7,000. And now if you look at it, under the new change, that sales rank can be 15,000.
And so that, so all the mental rules you had, right, which said, hey, I want to find something under a 7,000 rank and X number of competitors and this price range and blah, 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 that all blew up that day.
It is. So we adapt, and then we, based on different resources and data that we investigated and talked to different people, shoe seller. So originally, say, a lot of people, they say, okay, our comfort level for shoes, the ranking should be anything like a 30K or below. Mm-hmm. That would be good, a comfort level. Now, after the change, well, now we change to 100K, basically like a more than three times bigger than the original number. But so far, after we implement this change, the new comfort level in terms of the sales rank, it seems to be work out pretty good.
So the 100,000 seems to hold. Isn't there some logic that you also want to consider 100,000, but then it could be a variation issue or reviews, size don't fit. Because there was a particular brand of shoes. So I sell a lot of shoes. Quincy knows this. I bought from Quincy's List, right? And I sell a lot of shoes and I run very high percentages. And, you know, there's a shoe manufacturer, actually. She just reached out to me yesterday and I'm hesitant to go back with her because the particular type of shoe that she sells does not fit well. And that's in the feedback. And so, you know, if you buy a size 7, you expect it to fit, you know, a size 7, right? Or here's an easy one. If you buy Nikes, you know they run small. Just because you bought enough Nikes in your lifetime and you just know it, as me, who wears a size 12 or 12 and a half. This particular shoe, I don't think I want to sell it anymore because people are buying what they think is their regular size and they run small. So the returns on them have been enormous, and returns are not cheap. They're very, very expensive, as you know. So are there more things that you want to be looking at than just rank today, knowing what you know?
Actually, once the change happened and put myself and everybody else in the position to say, okay, assuming no more sales rank, what do we do? Can we still sell shoes? And the answer is yes. Without a sales rank, then you rely on other even more critical matrix. For example, number of reviews and how long Keepa has been tracking it. The Keepa chart actually showing how stable the pricing trend is, and then how the name brand and plus a multiple other data matrix becomes essential in determining what to buy.
Well, could you explain that a little bit? So when I look on a Keepa chart and I see consistency in the price over time, that tells me that it's been a decent seller. Is that something I can reasonably assume? Because if it wasn't, the price would have dropped. Is that a reasonable conclusion?
Yes, the Keepa chart show us how likely the price that I want to sell at will be there when I have my shoes there. But it does not tell you the velocity of the shoes, right? You can say a pair of dress shoes, nice, for example, Echo, the brand Echo, ECCO, is a very nice shoes and command a higher price. And it has a very good, stable keep a chart, the price trend. However, it's good shoes. Everybody knows it, willing to pay the high price for it, but not too many people will buy it too frequently, right? So it just, you send it in, you say, I bought it at the, for example, Sierra Trading Post at a good price of $60 for a pair of a men's loafer. And then you put it there, and then it's selling for $130. You say, you know it's going to get it sold at $130 according to the keeper chart, but you might take 3 months to sell it. You know you can sell it, right? So that means it's not going to just not be it won't be able to be sold at the velocity that you really want.
And so you run the risk of paying storage fees, and depending on the time of the year, you could be paying extra storage fees, right? And these are the things that you need to consider. And then the other thing you got to consider is there could be another competitor coming out. So the fact that it's a slow selling shoe, and then there's two sellers, now it's a double slow selling, assuming all things are equal, right? Assuming the metrics are all the same. Now it's a double slow selling shoe. Something you thought would sell in 3 months, if there's a competitor there or two, it could be 6 months to 9 months for yours to get up and sell, correct?
Could be. So selling shoes, it depends on other factors. For example, buying the right shoes at the beginning is important. You do a lot of homework, then you make the decision, you buy the shoes. Now, the second part comes into play. How quickly you're able to send the shoes into the Amazon and make it available to be bought. And then a third part of it would be how to optimize your repricing strategy before you're able to back the profit, right? So buying the right shoes, knowing that it's going to take longer to sell, but as you mentioned, say after I send it in, somebody else come in to sell the same shoes, the same size and same color, then you have to modify your repricing strategy to say, okay, now I have 4 months before August 15, long-term storage fee kicks in. I have 4 months. I want to sell it in 2 months. What do I need to do? Pretty much you need to do just lower your price, right? So I'm using App Eagle. Say you have two guys, come on, competing with you about the same price. And then I would say, okay, I'm going to, I have my margin to about, I can wiggle room to be about $15. So I'm going to drop below, like a 50 cents below the buy box price. And then I will monitor the App Eagle repricing to see if I keep dropping it at 50 cents at a time, say after 10 drop, no sale, nobody gets a sale. That means I'm just strictly playing with the price and nobody gets, so I just go back up in my price according to the keeper chart, say back to the shoes at Echo. If I am able to, the history tells me I'm able to sell it at 125 or to 130, then I just go right back up to the, you know, the normal trending price, and that just holds there.
Just wait it out.
Other people want to say, oh, I want to go and get my shoes sold faster, then they just drop to $90 and get it sold. I'm okay with it. So as a shoe seller, we need to understand there are situations like this that mean I want to hold it. Based on my budget, based on my cash flow, I can hold it. So it's a lot more complicated than just simply drop it and sell.
Right. It's not going to have that. And so the other thing then is you're not buying them again, right? You're not saying, hey, buy another pair. You might buy them once this one sells, but you're not saying, let me stock up and buy, you know, huge quantities in my back warehouse, right? You're saying, okay, this isn't going to sell. So there's really an art form too of managing your inventory and your sourcing methods, right? You got to kind of manage that too. It's very complicated.
It is. I wish I had a warehouse like yours.
And, yeah, I can store it. You know, it's funny you say that, but there are times now, because when you buy shoes by the case, I buy a lot of wholesale shoes. You know, you're getting two of this and six of this and blah, 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 blah. Lots of times now, it used to be in the old days, I just open the box, put our labels on, close the box, send it in. Now it's open the box, take a few out, put the labels on and send them in with other things. And then when that sells, you know, trigger your inventory level, hey, resend them in, or wait 2 or 3 weeks and then send them in again, just trying to play that to try to avoid it. Cause it's cheaper for me to hold them in my warehouse, right? I don't pay anything in storage fees than it is to put them in. And if they're just going to sit there anyway, right? Cause like you're saying, there's a long term. So if you haven't figured this out, Quincy is a shoe expert. And what's very cool to me is that you became a better, more knowledgeable shoe seller because of this change. Is that fair?
I think focus and just like when we talked about a year ago, I'm still doing shoes after a year. So it's been since March of 2014. I'm still doing shoes only. Even though I'm still being tempted multiple times throughout the years to do other categories.
Shiny object, right?
It is. So, but I just kind of have to evaluate every time when people make a suggestion, you know, trying to say, you know, other opportunities, as I have to say, whether it really is the best decision, best choice to do, right?
That's a very mature thing to do. I mean, it's mature. It is. I mean, not old. I mean, because you see these other opportunities. I agree with you. It's tempting. But you're mature enough to say, no, this is the path I've chosen, and it's working, and I'm just going to, you know, stay focused. That's very hard to do. Were you always that way? Is that an engineer thing?
No, not really. I kind of still learning about, you know, making a better decision when to say no to opportunities. The other side of me being an engineer is I'm really passionate about exploring different opportunities. When I first started in selling on Amazon, I was having the full-time engineering job, and I can kind of quote-unquote afford to experiment, do some crazy experiment, right? I would try this, and even though I make only $2 in profit, then I'll try it. And after that, I just move on to something else. And I still have that kind of attitude, even though I'm now full-time on Amazon, I mean, on my own as an entrepreneur, pursuing different opportunity, I'm still kind of can easily go way over my head onto something that I should not be doing. But Gated List, the shoe list service, always pull me back, because I always think, man, other people already move on to doing other things. I'm still with the shoes. Is it the right decision? So that's kind of a...
I think it is.
It is. So far, so good. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, I mean, this, you know, we talked in a pre-interview. There have been lots of, I don't want to call them competitors, other list suppliers, call it that. They've gone away. They have, you know, moved on as changes made and people have waxed and waned their interest or whatever. Another shiny object comes out. They've gone away. You've been there consistently for a long time. Very impressive. Well, let's talk about other changes. So you've partnered up with Mike and Brittany Ross and REA on your sourced inventory, right? They had discontinued that service, yet they had customers. And you graciously helped convert some of them into your customers in a positive way. I mean, it wasn't a, you know, hey, I'm going to steal your customers. It's like, look, let's take and service these people because they still have needs, right?
Definitely. What this happened, mainly the trigger point is the root category sales rank changes that Brittany and REA, they've been evaluating, just like me, evaluating their list all along frequently. And the main thing I'm willing to be able to step out and help, it is because I know both of them. Actually, I Both are through the CES, one in the Louisville, and then the other one's in Nashville. Mm-hmm. The past 2 years, so I know them, you know, as a friends, as a fellow Amazon sellers. I respected them, and I always been looking out to see if there's any way that we can partner together, right, to help each other out. So when this opportunity comes up, I think it just logically seems to be a win-win things for us to do.
Well, I think that's a powerful statement right there. So that relationship's been developed over time. And even though, you know, let's call it what it is, you guys were kind of competitors, right? You're selling something similar, yet there's a mutual respect. And I think that's the lesson, because I see some competitors out there. And man, I don't like negativity in my life. You know, I only like positive things. And I just don't think that that's a good way to compete. I think the way that you guys competed or not, right, was by giving better service. You did a great job with your customers. They did a great job with their customers. And then an opportunity comes along and you guys had a great working relationship. I think that's a powerful statement. And so Gated List is a shoe sourcing service that I have personally used. I haven't been using it as of lately, but I have used it in the past. And I bought a lot of shoes. And you have a big opportunity for people. And what I appreciated about yours was like, look, hey, you need to have resources if you plan on doing this kind of thing, because these things are not cheap. Shoes are not a cheap business to get in, correct?
That's correct.
It's an expensive model. It takes time to get your money back. This is not the fast flip model of Dwayne Malik would tell you, right? The old fast fines. This is not it. I mean, this is one of those things where you've got to put up a lot of money and you've got to wait. So this is Steve's caution. This is not a credit worthy opportunity to borrow money to go do this. This is not, because you're not going to get your money back in time to pay for it. However, it's really like a pipeline. Is that fair? You know, you really have to build a pipeline of shoes. And then all of a sudden, it's kind of like a nice steady business. At least in my experience, it has been. How about you?
Yes, it is. So, but I always want to talk to people who are new to the service. They're eager to give it a try, to be another income stream. But I always want to talk to them on a personal level to see what their goals are and if they have the right expectation. Especially right now, Amazon has a shoe brand restriction on a lot of new shoe sellers. Mm-hmm. So that means it kind of prevent them. I mean, not as easy as before due to such a roadblock, and creating an opportunity for existing shoe seller. So a lot of them coming in and they kind of the expectation is off. So I want to be there to before they jump in. I want to let them know ahead of time, so that they set their proper expectation. Because if so, then we can work with it. Otherwise, I really hate to see people kind of totally disappointed with the false expectation.
Right, and you lose your reputation, and they walk away, for lost money. I appreciate the fact that you kind of vet your clients beforehand, because I think it's important. You're not selling them some hope and dream. You're saying, look, this is work. This takes money. I mean, he actually, when you go to his site, and I have a link for it. When you go there, it actually tells you, hey, here's the recommended budget per month. You got to have money to play with. And you want to talk to them first to make sure that they're ungated, to make sure that they know what they're getting themselves into. I appreciate that, because I think it's sometimes some of the services are just like, hey, let me get your money. And or at least people feel that way. And I don't want to say that, because most aren't. But this extra step that you're doing is a real personal service, and you personally want to talk to them. I mean, that's a big deal. I mean, that it's not like you're outsourcing it to a VA. This is you they're talking with.
Yes, because I think in after I launched the service in March 2014, and a lot more similar lists come up, I noticed that the reason we can in this field we can accommodate multiple players, it is because there's a natural cap that each list can support. For example, if we have like 2 million Amazon sellers and we say 10% of them getting into selling shoes, then there's still a lot of people. But if unless people have a huge, a pretty big list distribution size, then there's a natural cap how many customers that you can support. For example, before I launched the shoe list, I was on about 7 or 8 other general category list, and then I noticed that some of them, like in what the distribution size is beyond what I think it would make sense to me. So that's why I kept my list to about 25 clients. And you can imagine if you're 25 for a list, then you can't take on 1,000, right?
Right.
So, but that uniqueness gave me the opportunity to say I can get to know my customer pretty well if I have the opportunity to talk to them, even at the time they sign up or even afterward. I can follow up to say, you know, is the list working for you? Is there anything that I can do for you to help you clear things up for you? And it's kind of a unique community, right? I have about 100 clients right now, and I pretty much know most of them. And so we kind of a talk, and through Facebook, email, or even my my free consultation right now, I just want to reach out to them to making sure they are really getting what they set out to do, right? Meeting their goal. So that's become a very nice thing for me. And as you mentioned, building a network, building that will lead to other opportunity as well. So I think kind of like that.
Let me ask a question. How is your customer retention? How many, I mean, do you know? I mean, have most people been with you for a long time? Is that an unfair question to ask?
It went through stages. So before, I have multiple subscription plans. I have 1 day, 2 day, 3 day, and 5 day, even 6 days at some point. So what I realized is that for people that just jump on the 1 day, usually they will be gone pretty quickly because they use it as a platform, as an opportunity to see what the list is like and whether, you know, make a decision themselves there. But later on, I kind of think, oh, okay, instead of not to spend too much time managing people leaving, and because I usually try to find out why they're leaving, right? Even though most of the time I kind of figure it out, but I still, you know, ask them what would be the reason behind their decision of leaving. But later on, I say, okay, let me focus my time, because my times are limited, on the people that actually really want to have what it takes to grow in shoe selling. So I just remove the 1 day option. So 2 day, 3 day, and 5 day, and kind of let people naturally to let people go before it's not a good fit for them for whatever reason. So what's remaining in the past 6 months, I mean, are the people who actually it's been working pretty good. Depends on their goal are. And so the turnover actually slowed down quite a bit
Good for you.
Yeah.
Because that costs you time. I mean, because there's an onboarding, right? There's an onboarding process. And if you're going to vet people, that was limited time. So I think that's a smart move. One of the cool things, and this is a Quincy is giving it to my listeners only, and I really appreciate this. This is a real deal. On my website, he's given me a link, and he's going to let new sellers only try his service. So this is kind of an interesting commitment, because this is kind of, you know, this is going to open you up to a little bit of activity. But I think it's a fair deal. You're looking for long-term customers, right? I mean, we had this pre-conversation. That's what you're looking to build, is long-term customers. It's good for you and good for them, right? You want somebody who's trying to build a great shoe business, and you're going to help them do it. However, you want long-term, right? You want to spend your time up front and then help them build their business, and it helps you, right? And so you have a 5-day option, right? So you, as you said, you have a 2-day, 3-day, and a 5-day plan. You said, look, for my listeners only, right, if they sign up and mention the podcast to you, and I'm going to have a link to your personal Facebook message. That's the way we're going to do this. So that way they know they came through here. Assuming you talk to them and they meet the requirements, because again, he recommends a budget. It's so important to make sure you have money. It's so important to make sure you're ungated in these categories, because you're wasting your money It's so important to make sure you're not borrowing money for this stuff. Again, this is long-term stuff. You're going to give a full month, 100% full month free. And if I wanted to cancel after a month, you're going to allow me to cancel and walk away. Fair?
That's correct. That's correct.
That's a big deal, Quincy. You said you've never done that before. That is a big statement because you, A, it's very flattering because you believe in the power of my podcast. I appreciate that. But for me, I'm very excited because there are a group of people who have been thinking about maybe shoes, especially if you have an older account. Maybe I'm ungated. You know, you can check those things. And this might be the opportunity I'm looking for to get a solid business because you've been selling shoes now for 3+ years, correct? Since 2014.
Since November 2014.
14. So almost 3 years. And you're an exclusive shoe seller, as you said. I mean, that's been your model. And you've been able to build a, you know, between that and your shoe list, a full-time business, full-time life out of this. That says something. You've not chased the hot thing, as we've already discussed. So it's a big deal. So I'm going to have a link. The only way you're going to get it is if you click through the link to Quincy. It's his Facebook group, his private message, and you've got to mention the podcast. Again, new customers only. He's trying to develop customers. So if you're an existing customer, you understand that. The deal is you've got to meet the requirements. You're going to have to talk with them. And I think that's a better way to do it because it's better for you and them if this isn't the right opportunity. I think that that's a very fair thing to do up front. Here's the expectation from me. Here's what you've got to give. Here's the cost. Here's what it's going to cost you. You need to have resources to be able to do it. I think the vetting is a smart move. And, you know, I hope some people decide, you know what, this isn't for me. Because you'd rather know that than spend a bunch of money and waste your time. You know what I mean? I don't think that's unfair.
Right. That's true. I really want people to to fully take advantage of the service and make sure that they, you know, align with your personal business growth goal.
I think it's a smart move, and I applaud you for it. Not many people are willing to put that much effort and energy because, again, it's your time, which you already know is valuable. You got kids. This is valuable time. And again, I believe in it so much. I've been a customer. I've used his lists. They are very complete. This is a great opportunity he's giving. And if you're thinking about this, but again, remember, you've got to have some money because this is not a fast turning item. You also have to be ungated in these categories. It's very important that you're very, because really you've got to act, right? Those lists come out, you act, mm-hmm. you buy, you make your purchases, you make them the right decision because your criteria is there. It's very complete. I mean, it's all the stuff you need to be able to make a decision. Boom, you make your purchase, you get it, you process it, and you move it on. And the thing I liked about it is that you can partner up with a prep center. I was using Prime Zero Prep for my shoes that come through the gated list. And you can use one of the prep centers. And I just think that's so smart. So, you know, you've got a company that helps you find them. Then you have a company that helps you prep them. And they never made it to my warehouse. So that was a very powerful tool. So, Quincy, what's next for you? What are you thinking that you're going to do differently going forward? These deals at the co-op warehouse, do you see those opportunities going places?
Absolutely. Actually, I have the kind of have the privilege to pick from the list. I just said the multiple opportunities are all very, very
That says something exciting. About you, though. But that says something about you. If people are attracted to you for a reason. You know, I mean that. That's not insincere. There's a reason. People want to be around successful people, and you exude confidence. And you and I've met personally a couple times face to face. You come across that way, so I think you attract those type of people.
Yeah, I think I discovered that for myself, and to be able to add value to people, the way you approach people, that you're thinking how my experience that would be a value to the person I met for the first time. So I think for 2017, things has been changing quite a bit for me. At the beginning when I started my entrepreneur journey, I always wanted to have my own software company. Mm-hmm. So like a SaaS company, software as a service.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also kind of quite practical. I am not the type of guy to say, oh, I'm going to raise up $10 million to start this company. And then we're going to make a shot of it, right? It's either succeed or die. So I come a long way. I plan for it. So I started my selling candy through my candy machines. And then I jump on Amazon as a seller. And then I started the shoe list service. And then now I move on to developing a Chrome extension, which will be ready real soon. This is all step by step that I'm putting in place to reach my dream, have a really, you know, authentic, I mean, say a SaaS company. But along the way, I'm learning everything about business, and then I will be able to make money to fund my projects. So with the shoe list and the shoe selling, then 2017, I've been thinking about how I can best you to optimize the time that I have. I'm just like everybody else. I was just talking to another entrepreneur about the reality of being an entrepreneur. Yes, I mean, I think a 4 hours work week is cool, but in reality, I'm spending more than 10 hours a day trying to get everything going, right? So I might never be able to, I don't want to get to 4 hours a week because I don't think I'm not at that age to be that relaxing yet. I would like to always have something in place, working on something to make an impact to the society, to the world in general. So my goal is to, for 2017, partnership is a big thing for me.
Hmm.
So I have to kind of think, okay, as a seller, I can sell this many shoes. If I have more budget, then I can sell more. And so what's next? So I just keep at certain level, like what you said, you say, okay, last year you make certain amount of sale, and this year probably you do the same thing. I'm thinking about similar thing. I will maintain a certain level of sales value in selling shoes on my personally, because I need to be in the business to know the business, which in turn will serve my shoeless clients really well, because I know everything at any given time. So I will maintain that. And then my shoe list, I will say, okay, giving the team that I have together in their expertise and experiences, is there anything else that I can do to generate more profit, but without additional time?
Yeah, no more time. Right?
So the latest thing that I have in place is I work with the, I always have a team in place to have a redundancy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you work with an overseas team, the Mother Nature always have surprises throughout the throughout the years, right? You know, electricity, internet, typhoon, and the family, sick family members, all kinds of stuff that I can imagine that already happened. So I always have a redundancy. My team is about, last time I talked to you, I have a team of 10 members overseas.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, I try very hard to keep all 10, but I had to let go one of them after all these years. So now I have 9, and they will basically be redundant. Basically, if we have enough people to take care of all the researchers, if one of them or two or three of them, half of them actually, if they have some, they're offline for whatever reason, that the other half will be still up. That's the redundancy. I want to be completely transparent to my clients. No matter what happened, they don't see anything. They just see the list every day.
That's smart.
So in that case, now with all the tools and that we have in place and training and experiences, now I am at the point to working on another list and without adding a headcount. So I'm doing a beta testing on the Nike only shoe list.
Mm-hmm.
It will be launched in May 1st, I think the Monday in May. So a lot of, I already got filled up with the 25 beta tester right now. So it will be available in May. This is going to be a unique Nike only list. If everybody in the sell shoes know why Nike is so hot.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they produce a list that to meet that demand. So people, not just people doing RA get all the benefit, but people doing OA can, you know, get some of it too. So when that's done, then at the same time, as I mentioned, I met a great team of the developers here in the co-op space. And so that's kind of it's a software thing. So everybody has a great idea, right? To develop the software to do this and do that. I love that. Personally, I developed something for myself to solve my own pain points.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the key thing is a developer, you need to forge a good relationship, right? Because I shoot for the long term. If there's a lot of developers out there through freelancer, you know, Elance or Upwork, but a lot of them actually, they just, okay, I jump on this project based on my skill, I get it done for you, I'm gone, right? I'm not interested in that. I know a lot of them have skills, but not a lot of them can work as a team with me. So I focus a lot of my time in work finding, vetting, and build a small project with selected software developers, a small software developer teams, because I want to lay that foundation first. So project idea is easy. I have tons of them, but I need the right team to execute them, right? So I'm kind of almost in there, in that place to be able to do, you know, to do more thing, greater thing, because I still have my eyes on my goal to have my own SaaS company. So I need to start in small, doing a little thing like Chrome extension, solving a specific pain point within the Amazon community. And so I'm working on that right now. And I spend a lot of time doing those. So as I mentioned, partnering with people, that's one step. I partner with those developers. But at the same time, I partner with my fellow Amazon seller to introduce newer services. To me, partnering, meaning I have to admit I am not good in everything, right? And in terms of the time, I don't have enough time to do everything I want. And also in skill, I don't have every skill that needed for the thing I want to do. And so I have to put myself out there and say, hey, I see that we can be doing something together potentially, and I don't have that, and you have that. Can we, you know, talk about it and then, you know, make something happen? So I have to do that a lot since last year, you know, Nashville. And so, but at the same time, I'm still selling shoes. I still have taken care of my shoe list clients, but that provide me the consistent income to fill my other partnerships. So,
but that's part, isn't that make it more fun too?
It is. I just have to really watch out my time in that sense.
Yeah, no, I get it. But to me, isn't that part of the fun of having that entrepreneur's life where you can do, you're experimenting? I mean, is there a percentage of your time that you're using for new things?
Actually, I spend 6 hours just in front of the computer. So half of it is working with other people.
Okay. So 50% of your time, you're investing in other projects with other people. But again, you're not by yourself. I mean, to me, it's a much healthier thing because you could burn out very quickly staring at your computer by yourself all day. So I think it's a very smart. I think that lesson is very strong, that you're willing to work with other people for a common goal. And I think that's the power of, I love this business for that reason. And I love the fact that you're in a co-op workspace. I'm telling you, you blew my mind with that. I did not expect that. I love it. And I hope that there are other people. I knew I interviewed Lori Barsby, and she works in a co-op workspace just to get out of her place too. And I just think there's more. There's 40 in New York City. I know there's 40. I actually looked at it, 40 locations. It just blows my mind that there are many. And I think what you described is you actually found customers there. And so to me, it's a revenue stream as opposed to a cost for your business. And I think it's very smart, very, very smart way to do it. All right. So you know the goal of this podcast. So I'm going to pump Quincy's list because I've been a user again, but it's very specific and you really need to be certain. So I would prefer that you take the time, talk with him and really make sure this is what you want because he wants long-term customers and you need to have a long-term strategy for your business. And I think that could be a great marriage or not, and know it up front before you spend a dime and before you, and please don't use debt for this kind of stuff. So Quincy, the goal is to help move forward and you've given us a whole bunch of tips for people to move their business forward. Could you share one more with us that you think people can put into their business today?
I think running a business as entrepreneur is so exciting. It's making money. It's thrilling. I talk to people multiple times. You know, we'll feel the passion. You know, we'll connect it. We'll resonate with each other. But one thing I learned, being having a family, have two kids, I think it's important. Whatever we do. Making money with a purpose, because money, if you are an entrepreneur, you have all the credential, you have all the experiences, you have all the networking connection, and you're able to make a lot of money. But how much is enough? That's a question that I've been thinking about a lot. Do I really need $10 million a year, or $1 million a year to be fully satisfied? So what it comes down to is the reason I jump on the opportunity to partner with Monica on the e-commerce kids. It's not an easy thing to do because it, giving my time and giving the nature of the finance with the project. E-commerce kids is not about money. It's about making an impact in the younger generation. That's personally to me. I have two boys. I am teaching them how to do Amazon business right now through RA. So they are very happy that the money they make, they're able to buy their PS4 over the Christmas time.
And that's not cheap.
No, it's not. So I make a deal with them to say, okay, all the money I put in the money, and if we make the profit, 25% goes to each of you. And then you pull them up together, and here's how you use the money. You have a platform for the younger generation to learn about business, how to deal with money, and see the fact that there are a lot more things you can do and make a difference than just playing video game all day long. So I guess I found a replacement for the kids to do it through e-commerce kids. But in a higher level, that means I'm able to do something only when I, as an entrepreneur, I work very hard to get to where I am. Then I, at the stage, I'm thinking about what's the purpose? Is there anything else more than making money in my life? So I think that would be a good step.
I think it's powerful.
For myself, right? So whatever that you are, I mean, anything that you work with a charity or you have some organization you want to partner with, you want to make a difference, make an impact, or people in the third world country, I think the time is now, not wait until you are very successful. So you give yourself, do a little by little, because you see that you're making money, but for a greater good, you have a purpose. I think that's something I've been thinking about a lot, and I think it's kind of helped me remind me and keep my focus why I am an entrepreneur. So on my the door, I have a poster about e-commerce kids. At the end, the bottom, it says, to be a social entrepreneur, that's what this purpose is. Entrepreneur make money, no problem in this country. If we know the right way to do it. But if you're able to make an impact, social impact, right, with your money, I think that's a very powerful thing. So I'm all for that. So I think I would say for everybody out there, you know, have your dream, you pursue your dream, chase your goal. And then if you add this into it, it makes it all the more powerful and make you a better entrepreneur.
Wow. You can't see the smile from ear to ear in my face. But let me tell you, that is such a great way to close it out, because it is, you know, your life here is short and you need to make a difference, not just make money. And I think it's so powerful. I love the social comment. I think it's so important and you get so much more from it. You know, that's a big thing in my life is you give, you get. And if you give without expectation, you get tenfold, as I say. So, Quincy, I appreciate it. I'm going to have a link again. You have generously offered to give new customers 1 month free, but it's qualified. You've got to talk with them first. You've got to make sure you're right for his business, and he needs to make sure you're right for his your business. There's no strings, but he just wants to make sure you understand and make sure that you understand that you are ungated and stuff like that, which I applaud you for. You're just not taking money, and I think that that's why you've been so successful. Man, I wish you nothing but success. Can't wait to catch up with and see how this SAS stuff goes. Take care. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So a couple takeaways for me, the co-op workspace and the opportunities that exist. How are you going to find software developers right there in his co-op workspace? How is he going to find customers for his photo booth business right there in his workspace? Who would have thought that? My mind didn't think that far out, and now I see it. It's as plain as day. But I didn't see it. Now my mind, again, that's the benefit of having a podcast, is I get to talk to these kind of people, these smart people, this brilliance, and they expand my boundaries every single time. Again, consider his offer if this is right for you. But again, make sure you have the money. Make sure you're willing to wait to build a long-term business. It's a funnel, and it's really important. Please don't finance it. ecommercemomentum.com, ecommercemomentum.com. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the e-commerce Momentum Podcast. All the links mentioned today can be found at ecommercemomentum.com under this episode number. Please remember to subscribe and like us on iTunes.